All right. Welcome, everybody, today. How many are happy to be in church? Come on, somebody. Yeah. If you're watching online or from any of our locations, we're so glad that you've joined us today. It's been an amazing Sunday so far. We're excited. Love the worship, all that God's doing. And it's exciting that, I don't know if you're aware of this, that God is on the move in our church. Come on, somebody, right? I mean, it's amazing. I've been able to be at many of the locations the last few months, and it's so fun to see how God is doing incredible things. We're actually going to even begin the message with gratitude. Everybody say gratitude. Last week, Pastor Nate mentioned some of the big numbers and commitments to Christ and generosity for Convoy of Hope that happened at Easter. I just wanted to celebrate maybe a lesser known win that's happening, and it's at all four locations. What God is doing in the next generation, specifically, we love the next generation, amen. We love everybody, thankful for everybody that serves in kids and youth, but specifically our youth ministry. And I connected with Pastor Phil, some of our youth leaders, and just, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but we have over 500 students worshiping the Lord every week. Come on, that's so cool. Some people are like, well, the next generation's lost. No, it's not. And it can be found, and God's doing great things. Just in the last 90 days, 129 young people have committed their life to Jesus. Man, that's amazing, amazing. And we're in this series on discipleship. And I just want you to know that they've also, next gen, some exciting things. Over 100 students this summer are going on a Kingdom Builders mission trip. And they are taking steps. Come on, you clap better than that, church. That's good. That's good. They may surpass the adults. So let's go. Tell the person next to you, God is on the move. He is. He is. So we are in this series, So You Believe Now What? So You Believe Now What? Last week was week one. If you missed it, Pastor Nate preached a great message. Go online, watch it, be encouraged by it. I encourage you to open our Emmanuel app, and you can take notes along with me as well. They'll be up on the screen. This is week two of the series, and I've entitled it Stakes in the Ground. So you may see the stakes that are up here. I'll reference these in just a few moments. Stakes in the ground is what we're going to talk about. So let's jump in. There's so many amazing scriptures that we're going to look at this weekend. Romans chapter 10 says this, in verse 9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe, everybody say believe, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. It's amazing. It's such an incredible scripture. A couple days ago, this past week, just 4 or 5 days ago, Jane and I returned from a Kingdom Builders trip in Thailand. And we had an incredible experience with some of our missionary partners in Southeast Asia. And we're part of a lot of things that are going on there, a lot of exciting things. We were in this two-day conference with about 80 global workers. And one of the things that happened is there was a Thai lady, I can't mention her name, who was a Buddhist background believer. So Buddhist came to Christ. God radically changed her life, and it's fairly new and just happened in the last few years. And she was sharing just a quick few sentence testimony with all of us. And she made this statement, and as she made it, it just jumped in my heart because I thought about this series. I knew I was speaking this weekend, and so I took out my phone and I wrote this down. And this is, again, from a young lady that's a Buddhist background believer kind of jumping into Christianity. And I put her quote up on the screen so we can see it together. She said this, I accepted Jesus in my heart as my Savior before I understood much about Christianity or what I was supposed to do. She said, the next year I learned what to do and I acted on what I learned. And I don't know about you, but that's like a simple description of how we should go about it, right? Hey, when I gave my life to Jesus, I didn't really know everything what was happening. I had this belief in my heart. I jumped in. I want Jesus to be my Savior. I want Jesus to be my Lord. So powerful, so exciting. And then she's like, for the next year, I kind of figured out what's supposed to happen, right? And I tell you, that is, again, so familiar. It's familiar with a lot of areas in life. I know this weekend at Emmanuel, we have all different demographics and ages, and we have young adults and youth and kids, and we have single adults, we have married adults. Is there any married couples in the room? Can I see your hands? Is there any parents, all locations? Go ahead. How many parents would say, hey, when we became first-time parents, we knew everything, right? How many will confess that you knew almost nothing, right? Somebody like Pastor Darren, take out the word almost, right? I mean, it's so similar. Jane and I are still learning at 35 plus years of marriage. We're still learning how to be married and how to grow in our marriage. We're still learning as parents. We have three amazing daughters, three amazing sons-in-law, four grandchildren. By the way, I'm announcing we have a fifth one on the way. Come on, somebody. And yeah, I love that our kids are being fruitful and multiplying. So it's so, so good. But I love that this idea of first we do this, now we do this. And when Pastor Nate kind of worked on this message in this series, he talked about now I believe, so I believe, now what? And I love that idea. So everybody, you say the phrase, buckle up. Buckle up. For the next couple minutes, I want to read a passage of scripture. Once in a while, there's places in the Word of God that startle us a little bit or jar us just a little bit. I know we love the verses about the peace of God. Come on, somebody. We love the verses about the love of God just rolling over our beings and all the, and those are, and the presence of God and how special it is. I'm thankful for that. How many know there's places in the Word as well that kind of challenge us to our core, right? And we got to love those places as well. And we got to let God speak to us. So this is one of these passages, the reason I say buckle up, because this is one of these passages that kind of grabs us. The book of James is addressing kind of what was not taking place and how the believers in that time frame were not moving forward and kind of taking on the duties they were supposed to take on as followers of Jesus Christ. And he says this, look at this with me. He says, you have faith, for you believe that there is one God, good for you, right? That's not an encouraging word right there, okay? He says, even the demons believe this and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? So again, this kind of startling verse, I get it, is that, hey, believing's super important, but there's a lot of people out there that might have a tendency to believe and stop right there. And James is like, it's not enough, guys. Church, it's not enough. Disciples, it's not enough. It's vital, but there's something else. There's these next steps that have to take place. And I have this in the app. It'll be up on the screen. I want us to say it together if we would. So I'm going to say it one time through, then let's say it together. To believe is very important. Application validates and strengthens my belief. So all locations, let's say that together. To believe is very important. Application validates and strengthens my belief. Man, I love today at all locations that we had all these water baptisms that are happening at Emmanuel this weekend. That is application to our belief, right? When we do our daily devotions, when we are in the one-year Bible app, or when we're doing 21 days of prayer and fasting, when we are inviting a friend to sisterhood night on Friday night, when we are stepping in to Team Emmanuel, we are applying, we are putting application to our faith, right? To what we believe, and it's just so, so important, and it's actually really, really exciting. So in our world today, most of us, we're pretty used to the term disciplines. Everybody say disciplines. It's not the most fun term, but we're very used to it. I wrote down a few of them in my notes here that kind of are big in our world today. So we hear the term health disciplines, right? How many have ever been to a doctor or physician and they have told you about certain health disciplines you're supposed to have in your life, right? Is there anybody else that has a doctor's office like mine where their scale is always wrong? Anybody like that? Mine's always like 20 pounds off. I don't get it. So anyways, but there's health disciplines that are supposed to be a part of our lives. There's work disciplines. There's work discipline. Some people say, hey, always be early. Some say, always be on time. Some people say, be the last to leave. There's disciplines about how often, how fast we should respond to email or communication. There's different disciplines that come into place in the work. There's also financial disciplines. Financial disciplines happen, and they're very important, and they're very beneficial to our lives, and they can have huge impacts either to the good or to the bad. I don't know about you, but I love that our church encourages people to go through Financial Peace University. Because here's the thing about Financial Peace University. If you don't have good financial disciplines, guess what? You can get good financial disciplines. And life can turn and go in a better direction. And then also, we are aware there's spiritual disciplines. There's spiritual disciplines. These things that should be in my life consistently. And I feel led to say this right now. I just want to intersect. There's some of us that have been believers for a long, 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 long time. Disciples for a long, 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 long time. And I pray that if you know most of what we're going to talk about, I pray you would ask the Holy Spirit, hey, is there anything dormant in me that I need you to breathe fresh life into? Just pray that way. Instead of like, wow, this is really good, but it's review. I just pray that if there's something that's kind of grown cold or stale or dormant, that we'd say, God, I want you to speak incredible, strong, powerful life into me in this area. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 talks about this. I love this passage of scripture, 24 through 27. Let's look at it together. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on a bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. Verse 27, when the rain and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Here's a simple and powerful truth. It's very simple, but it's very powerful. The strength of my spiritual disciplines determines the strength of my foundation. The strength, you can write this down, church. You can bank on this. I know it's not super hard to understand. It feels very basic, but I'm just gonna tell you with everything in my heart that I've seen this at times when it's strong in my life, when it's been weak in my life, and I've needed God's help, because we all need God's help at different seasons in our life. I'll just say, and I wanna say it again strong, the strengths of our personal disciplines and the spiritual disciplines in my life will determine the strength of my foundation. And I don't know if you saw that in scripture, if you understand what's taken place there, you notice that scripture said, Jesus said, when the floods come, when the rains, torrential rains hit our lives. How many know every one of us has those seasons, right? It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, right? So just, that's why we buckle up, we get ready. There are people at Emmanuel this weekend, and that you're maybe in that season where the winds are just fighting against you and challenges are there and you're getting bad news and there's rough things that you're dealing with. Can I just tell you that the spiritual disciplines that God has given us, and we're gonna talk about a few of them here for a few moments, are so vital when those things come into our lives, because everybody deals with it. Everybody wrestles with it at different times in our lives. A number of years ago, I wanna share one of my experiences with you, because like a lot of us, I need to learn this stuff as well. I was raised here in Minnesota. I was raised at a liturgical church. I didn't go to church all the time, and I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And late in high school, I was at a retreat, and I won't tell you the whole story, but I fully committed my life to Jesus Christ. I radically got saved. I learned about being born again, and it was an incredible, incredible transformation that God did and is still doing in my life. So it's just amazing. Shortly after that, about a month later, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and like the Thai lady, I had no idea what I was doing, but it happened. And it was special. How many are thankful for the Holy Spirit, right? It is special. It was powerful. It happened in my life. So then I felt called. I really didn't even know what that meant, but I felt maybe I should go to Bible college. I went to Bible college. I've been a Christian just over 1 year. And I'll just share this really fast. At Bible college, most of the other students, most of my friends that were there were lifelong Christians. And we'd be in class and the professor was asking about, hey, do you guys know this scripture? And they're quoting it and I'd never heard it. And I saw even some disciplines of study, the Bible in their life and stuff like that. And chapel was going on. And I was trying to learn, but can I just be honest with you? I was surrounded by people that grew up in church, and I didn't grow up in church as a born-again believer, as somebody that accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And so I was getting, just to be honest, I was getting a little frustrated that my faith wasn't strong. I wasn't doubting, don't miss this, I wasn't doubting my salvation, but I was frustrated by the lack of growth that was going on in my life. And I've not shared this story very often, but here's what I did. I don't know that it was the right thing to do, but I got so frustrated, I put up two signs in my dorm room. I'll show you these on the screen. And I put them on a concrete wall with scotch tape on lined notebook paper so it would not pass our communications department. I understand that. But those are right next to my door. Every time, right, you can't see the light switch. Anytime I would flick on or flick off the light switch, in my dorm room, I would see these two reminders. And they were reminders to nobody else but me that, hey, no prayer. Everybody say no prayer, no power. And the next one said God's word, right? Above all else. And those two things I kept up for a year. When they fell down, I put them back up. Because it was kind of out of frustration. Like, I want God to do this in my life. I want the now what part of my life to get stronger, not just live in the so you believe. And it's been super, super helpful in my life. So, and I'm still learning. So I have these two stakes. So the message title is Stakes on the Ground. And some of you are like, what's this all about? And again, this would be, I'm going to share four stakes with you in just a moment. I would just ask you, compel you this weekend at Emmanuel to grab a hold of these four stakes and drive them in the ground in your life as something that is as part of your solid foundation. I did a little study on it. Some of you will know American history even better than I do, but there's different places that the phrase stake in the ground, drive a stake in the ground, comes from. One of the places that it comes from is this event that took place. It's part of our American history. There was something called the Oklahoma Land Rush that happened in 1889. And unfortunately, there was land given away. Some of it, much of it was taken from Native Americans. There's a lot to this story. But it was this moment in time, a day in time, when the U.S. government decided that they're going to give away 2 million acres of land. And so about 50,000 people in that year lined up at a starting line, and they all started at the same time together. And when the gun went off, they all took off, some on foot, some on horseback, some in buggies. There was even some the original years of the first kind of motor cars and stuff like that that was out there, almost a little over 50,000 people. And what they did is they would span out over these 2 million acres. And when they found the plot of land they wanted, they had one of these in their saddle because there was generic ones all over, about every 140 to 150 acres. And when they found the land that they wanted, they pulled the generic stake out, they took their stake, and they drove it in the ground. And when they drove it in the ground, they said, "This, I lay claim to this, this is mine." But some don't realize what they're also claiming is, "I will work this land with strength," because they made a commitment for the next 2 to 5 years that they were going to work it with strength. And so there's this powerful moment, and people scattered all over the place, and they drove their stakes in the ground. They said, this is what's going to happen, and I will be strong here. And so I want to share with you, I set it up kind of in this way intentionally, not over dramatically, but I really feel that these are so vital. So I'm going to share four stakes. And can I just so that nobody emails me. I know there could be way more than four, okay? I get that. I know there could be 8, 10, 12. I understand that. I just really feel like these are the four for week two of this series on this day in April at Emmanuel. So let's jump in here. Here's the four stakes I would encourage you to jump on to make part of your foundation. Here's the first one. It's obedience over independence. Obedience, first stake I want to ask you to drive in the ground. And some of you are like, oh, now he's preaching to the strong Christians, not preaching to everybody. He's preaching to the young. I'm preaching to everybody. Obedience over independence. Okay, everybody say the word lordship. This is what lordship looks like. Obedience over independence. Romans 14 says this, says, if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So the first stake in the ground is obedience over independence. Obedience is, God, whatever you tell me to do, my answer is yes, and I won't claim my own insight as better than yours. I will just do it. God, if it's supposed to this, I'm supposed to free this person. I'm supposed to give here. I'm supposed to pray here. I'm supposed to do this. It's my wisdom submits to your truth. And I agree that even though I might have a lot of, because I do, a lot of independent thoughts and moments, I'm going to drive a stake in the ground and say it's obedience over independence. A number of years ago, I've got this wrong a lot. I want to share a moment where I got it right. It was over 10 years ago. Jane and I were leading a team to Israel. There was 34 of us there. And we came to the Jordan River experience, and we had a mass baptism. And I was blessed to be able to baptize over 30 people in the River Jordan. We're the same place that Jesus was baptized. And at the I was rounding out the last three or four, and I felt God say to me, Darren, you need to be baptized. And I was a little bit like with God, like, hey, like, I'm the pastor, God. Don't you know that? You know, like how arrogant, right? But that's what I thought. And I thought also, like, they're all going to think I've never been baptized because I had been. And he said to me again, I felt this is my words a little bit. I felt like he said, do you think I needed forgiveness when I was baptized? Because Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. He was without sin. No, it's a step of obedience that declares lordship. So everybody that was baptized today at Emmanuel, and when you get baptized at the next opportunity or whether in the times I've done it, it is a step of obedience, right, church? That comes from a commitment that we have made to Jesus. And so I would just say the first stake in the ground is that it's obedience over independence. Here's the next one, stewardship over ownership. Stewardship over ownership. This is so important, and it's not just a teaching on money or giving. How many know that stewardship includes our resources, but it's much broader than our resources? Stewardship over ownership. I'm still learning this. I'm still growing this. Stewardship says everything I have, God has entrusted to me. And so I am going to steward that or manage that, but he is the owner. So that if I can do this stake in the ground and say, I'm just going to try to live this way, that God, everything you have given to me, I'm going to steward it because you are the owner. And when you ask me to do different things in obedience, it's easier for me to say yes. Because I say, God, it's yours. It's yours. My house is yours. Our vehicles are yours. My retirement account, my bank accounts, my relationships, the different things, the vehicle, it's yours. If some of you have a really fancy lake home and you need to exercise this, just offer it to me. I'll use that lake home. No, I'm just kidding. But there's things we can do in our lives that even build this up. Where we're just like, you know what? God, I need a little help because I'm holding on to this a little too tight. And again, this happens in my life. It'll happen in every one of our lives. And one of the things, some of you have seen me do this before, but I am so trying, and I'm a work in progress, to live like this. And sometimes I feel like the Holy Spirit's kind of prying my fingers open, right, to get them there. I get that. But that's, I'm going to just drive that stake in the ground, and I would just say that's huge. Stewardship over ownership. The next one, two more, really quick. The third one is this: forgiveness over bitterness. Drive the stake in the ground. Forgiveness over bitterness. You can drive this stake in the ground and you don't need anybody else to do it with you. It is your step to make, right? It is so, so important. A couple months ago, we had Kevin Ramsby and his wife here, and they shared a great story, powerful story on forgiveness. We've heard this. It's one of those things that we need to hear often. And I just want to say for everybody at Emmanuel, whether you're watching online, no matter what location you're a part of, that you would pick up the stake and say, I choose forgiveness over bitterness, and I drive it in the ground. And I just want to give you a word of caution, because sometimes in this topic, I've caught myself saying, or I've heard other people say to me, we've had prayer teams at the moment, at the end of services, and I've prayed with people at the front, and they said, you know, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm ready yet. And usually when we say a phrase like that, it's because we're thinking we need to wait for something else somebody else needs to do, or a circumstance that needs to change. Can I just say that forgiveness over bitterness is all about saying, God, this is about me and you. It's about my relationship with Jesus. So I'm just gonna say, God, please forgive me. God, I release that unforgiveness. And so just, I would encourage you, that may speak strong to you today, and know that it is the most freeing thing we can do when we walk in this. It's so, so important. Here's the fourth one that I wanna take a few extra moments with. The fourth stake in the ground, and it's so vital, it's so powerful, is God's word over all else. God's word over all else. One more time, God's word over all else. Luke chapter 4, what a scripture. Jesus, his experience after he was water baptized, was beginning his ministry in Luke chapter 4. It says this: then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by, look at this scripture, look at this church, he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Can I hear an amen, right? I mean, that's so normal, right? Then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. But Jesus told him, no. Everybody say no. Sometimes that's all you need to tell the devil. Just say no. I'm doing a little loud here, but I get it. I love that Jesus was like, no, get out of my face. You know, I was like, no. No, he says, the scriptures say. The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone. Then the devil, who didn't give up, took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I will give you the glory, the devil's saying this, I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. Guess what? He will lie too. The devil's a liar. Those aren't his kingdoms to give to anybody. They're not. He's actually trying to give them to the God of the universe, right? So not only will the enemy come against us and we got to say no, how many of you know the enemy will lie to us? And it'll feel very strong, but if it's the enemy, it's a lie. That's why it's God's word above all else. I will give it all to you if you will worship me. Jesus replied, the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him. Serve only him. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. I just want you to notice something as I hold this stake and say, let's drive this into the ground today as the fourth one in the week two of this series. I want you to notice in all three challenges, temptations that the devil threw at Jesus, there's three words that Jesus came back with in all three times, right? three words. These will be up on the screen, and we're going to say them together. Let's say them together, church. The scriptures say, one more time, the scriptures say. Jesus did not get into a debate. He just said, devil, the scriptures say. The scriptures say. God's word over all else is so vital. It's so important. It's so key to these areas of our lives. Today in our world, God's word's under attack. The Bible's under attack. There's a lot of people that want to tear it down. Pastor Nate often will encourage us, make sure you have a hard copy Bible. Make sure you've got that resource available. There's so much going on. We're also in an interesting year. It's a political year, and there's a lot of things taking place. And regardless of what your political affiliation is, can I just say, regardless of that, our commitment is to God's word above all else, right? It is. And some of you might even think, well, he's saying that from, no, I'm not saying it from any persuasion. I'm just saying it from the Bible's persuasion. What Jesus says, hey, the scriptures say, the scriptures say, the scriptures say, the stake in the ground is the scriptures say. And it's so vital. It's so important to the now what in our lives. I have this written down in my notes and we'll close after this, but I just encourage you to write it down. I'm sorry it didn't make the app here on the screens. Ignoring or dismissing God's word in no way diminishes its truth. Let me say it really clear. Ignoring or dismissing God's word in no way diminishes its truth. It just doesn't. Oh, it sounds so good. She was so convincing. Listen to that person talk. It in no way diminishes its truth. Pastor, it just feels really good. The reason I don't have to do this or this obedient step or this obedient step or baptism or tithing or forgiveness or what is because it sounds almost so good. But man, it doesn't dismiss in any way the authority of God's truth. So I want to invite everybody to all locations. Would you stand to your feet with me, please? And I want to close this way. Thank you for standing. I want to close this way because I want to read this passage of scripture, but I want to ask you if you could put this up on the screen. I want to ask us to read it through twice. Okay, I want to ask us to read it through twice. There's some, as we get ready to read the scripture, the reason I want to read this through twice is because I feel strong that there's people at Emmanuel, maybe you just came as a friend, a family member, for somebody that's getting water baptized and you want to support them, or you came as a guest and you're checking things out, or maybe you've been here a long time, but there's some that would say, Pastor, those four stakes, they don't sound simple. They sound almost too hard for me. And I just want us to read this scripture as a scripture of encouragement. So let's look at it. Let's read it together. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. One more time. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. Can I remind us? Don't misquote this verse that would say, for I can do all things through Christ's strength. No, I can do everything through Christ, who then gives me strength. It's all about coming under his lordship, right? For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Would you close your eyes, bow your heads with me, please? If you're willing to, would you open your hands? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for who you are. Thank you for blessing. Thank you for encouraging. Thank you for this series. Thank you for the message we heard last week from Pastor Nate. Thank you how it feeds into this week. And God, you have so much more over the next few weeks. But we just seize this moment right now to say, God, we want to drive the right stakes in the ground. If there's some wrong ones, we should pull them out and push them away. And God, by your grace and strength, we can do that. And then we want to replace them with the stakes that really make a difference for you. So God, I pray that as we continue to take these steps of now what, that we would remember and remember and remember That even when it feels big, even when the storm blows strong, even when the rain comes really hard, that through Jesus and the strength you give us, God, we can do all things. And we just receive that breath of encouragement, that breath of life, and that breath of strength from you. And we thank you for your goodness. And we love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen, amen, amen. We're gonna have a time of worship together and just celebrate this together. And I really want us to take a few moments and just go after praise and worship before we dismiss. Pastor Nathan will come up. But I wanna give us an opportunity to commit our lives to Jesus. Because it's the first step before you can even get to now what. So we're doing great on time, church. Would you close your eyes one more time? Bow your heads. And as I say this, there should be nobody that feels pressure right now. There should be nobody that feels anxious. This is just a moment of invitation that we do pretty much every week at Emmanuel, that we just want you to know that if you are not right with Jesus, or you know you need God's forgiveness and you want to fully commit your life to him, that you can leave church today knowing that your life is right with God. You don't have to have fear. You don't have to have anxiety. You can have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, just giving you the opportunity to say, I know I came to church. I'm not in right relationship with God. I need to invite Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, or I need to recommit my life to Jesus. I know I need his forgiveness today, and I want to ask him for that. So as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you'd say, Pastor, include me in the final prayer. Just include me. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hands in a moment. Include me in the final prayer. I want to make that decision today. Put your hand up all over the room right now. Shoot it up really high. Keep raising them. It's so good. Keep raising them. So good. Yeah. So good. Keep raising them. I love it. So good. All over, every section. Come on, church. It's so good. Yeah. Let's pray together. Repeat this after me. Church family, let's pray it together, all of us to support each other. Jesus, I come to you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I invite you into my heart to be my Savior and to be my Lord, to be the leader of my life. Thank you for your amazing love. I want to live every day of my life for you. Jesus, I love you. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate, church.
Thank you for joining us. We pray that you are encouraged and blessed by today's message. Check out emmanuelcc.org for faith resources, how to get plugged into the community, or to join us live on Sundays at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. We are so excited to see what God is going to do. The best is yet to come.